Welcome to Cosm Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Well, it's a privilege, pleasure, scary, exciting being with you for a couple of days. In fact, it's quite a few days, and each night will be different as we go through the week, because we do want to build on what's been shared the previous night, as tonight we start off and just laying a foundation. I'm expecting, as we did say, I think you might have mentioned, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing, faith, revival in Jesus, and how these things work together, and not only just give you theory, but actually see God do what he wants to do. Because an empty word doesn't mean much if you don't see what the word can do. I think Kelly and I, we just want to see God move. We expect that to happen. I'm expecting that tonight. So I'm expecting, if you've come trusting God for your healing, just remember this, and every night, you don't have to wait for the altar call for anything. You for coming up for healing, you can be healed in your seats. And so often we expect, okay, when we get to that point, if this happens, then I'm going to come and receive. No, you just need to put your faith out there right now and expect that to happen. And we've seen that happen down in PE with the Relating Elders recently, and in East London with a church there, and just seeing people get healed in their chairs. It's not waiting for the moment. The moment is now. And we often limit God to, when this happens, then I'm going to do this. No, I think people get healed driving to work sometimes when they're listening to a cassette tape. Well, actually, it's a DVD now, so whatever, CD. Shows your age, right? So here's a story. R.W. Schambuck. I saw him in his tent in 1981 in Dallas, Texas, when he was preaching to the Americans. So friend of mine, Chucky Kudzia, we were on security duty. We snuck off campus because we were security guards on the campus of Christ for the Nations, the Bible school we were at. Went off and snuck in the back of his tent and listened to him preach. He's no longer alive now, but he was one of the speakers with Branham Allen, speaking on faith, building faith into people so that when people came for healing, they got faith built into them for at least 4 or 5 days before they'd come up and get touched and be healed by Branham or Allen or one of these men. So he's one of the greats of the old, and I was happened to have the privilege of seeing him. He tells a story. Person, businessman, very rich, never been sick in his life, has all the finance and money that he's wanted. He's got homes, he's got estates, he's got boats, whatever. He ends up getting sick. He gets encephalitis. He ends up being in hospital. And he ends up being in a coma. And in the coma, because he was Roman Catholic, a Roman Catholic priest representing the church and who he was connected to the church, the priest went into the room because he was critical. All his finance and all his support and all the stuff that he had could not help him. So he's at the point of death. The priest walks in and reads or declares or prays the last rites over him, thinking he's going to die. So he's kind of awake, conscious, but in a coma. He hears all this. The next minute, another priest comes in. He's not wearing black. He's in total white. He comes through the wall. He walks into the room, leans down over him and says to him, "You've got nothing to worry about." He says, "You'll be up soon. When I leave this room, I want you to get out of bed, have a wash, shave yourself, get dressed, and leave." Turns around, walks through the wall, leaves the room. So he gets up, finally struggles out of his bed, gets dressed after washing, and finally walks outside and he says, "Who is that second guy who came? Why did he walk through the wall?" And the person who was obviously the pastor that he had some connection with, he says, "Well, if he is the door, he can go anywhere he wants at any time." Wow. I kind of like that. So he can come in any time. He can walk straight through there. He can walk straight into your situation. He doesn't need an invitation because he is who he is. I'd like to start off reading out of Mark chapter 16, verse 20. It's right at the end of the book of Mark. But just as a foundation tonight to begin to build something into you. And so here we go. Mark 16, 20, you probably know it. And they went out and preached everywhere. While the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed. Here we've got a number of groups. Okay, let's just break this down. And they went out and preached everywhere. Who's they? The disciples. The 120, they went out and they preached. They declared a certain message, a certain truth, while without them knowing or seeing his presence, the Lord worked with them. So they were there, seen in public, wherever they went and preached the gospel. That's what we're doing tonight. And the Lord was present with them. He's not, you can't see him, but he's here. Amen. He's right in this room tonight. Why? Because it says so. Amen. But the consequence of coming and preaching and the Lord invisible in the room but present here is this one thing. And he confirmed the word by signs that followed. He didn't confirm the preachers, he confirmed his word. How did he confirm it? By the demonstration of what was said. Friends, that's church. And that's revival. Because when what is said is seen, it becomes a reality in the revelation. And it somehow seems to capture humanity more than anything else that this world has to offer. Can I say this too? If a certain message is declared, surely there's a certain confirmation that follows. Certain signs and wonders that follow that message. First point. So what are you going to say and what are you going to see? It depends on what you say. Then you will see what you will see. So if you're preaching theology and stuff that's not important, you're going to see zero. But when you start preaching truth, truth sets you free because of who he is. That's what his character is. The other thing is this. If you say what he says, he will do what he does. Sure. If you say what he says, he can do what he does. If I know Ian and I represent and I talk all about him to you, when he walks in, you'll just say, that's Ian. Why? Because I've described him, and when he comes in, his character matches my words. But if I say that's Ian and I don't know who he is and I try and explain him to him, when he walks in, you won't recognize him. It's called confusion. So our job is to preach truth to you so that when truth is there, that truth, he'll demonstrate his truth. When we represent who he is present. That's called preaching the gospel. That's called signs and wonders. Follow the preaching. So it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him and what we say. When you tell people about Jesus, who he is, he will heal them. You can lay hands on the sick. You can cast out demons because it's what you say to them. The word sets you free. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. And that word healed is delivered and everything that's there with it, it sets you free. You are totally changed by that word of God. That's why when we grab a hold of the word of God, nothing can shake us. When we've got the opinions and what men try and say about the word of God, we are a bit shaky because we're not really sure what's said. Earth was created by words. Okay, let me get in the word here. Here's Hebrews 11:6. Okay, I'm just going to give you some words. But without faith, it's impossible to please God or to walk with God. And please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So I've written these out because it's a different translation of my Bible. Without faith, if you don't have faith, you cannot please God. If you have faith, you can please God. So how can you please God? Have faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Not denomination, tribes of church groups, church buildings, ministries, will you find faith on earth. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. First, you must believe that he exists. So he does exist. And whoever comes near to him and believes that he exists. Here it is. You've got to come near to him. You can say, yeah, God lives. Oh, he exists. Absolutely. Hallelujah. I mean, you can quote all the scriptures. But if you don't come near to him, it's not faith. How many times does Jesus call people close to him? And I think in these next few days, we're going to show you some of these things. And he said to the woman who's crippled, bent over for 18 years, on the Sabbath, he called her, she came to him. He said, woman, you're healed of your infirmity. He laid hands on her, he stood up and she walked out. I mean, that's simple. How's that? Just simple thing. It's not, oh man, they always put their hands out. They had a big prayer meeting. They bind their cast out. They cut loose and they tear down and they cast demons. No, it's just simply woman. It's a declaration. Woman, you are freed of your infirmity. Laid hands, which is what? Two things. Declaration, touch. Bang, she was healed. But she called her to him. She could have said, no, it's too painful. No, I don't want to. No, it's too embarrassing in front of everybody being bent double. But she did. So, it's those things. By faith, Hebrews 11:3, that is, with inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power. Let me read that again. You all happy with that one? By faith, bracket, that is, with inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God. We understand that the world's universe ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by God's finger. No. By the word. By his word, by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So how did God create the universe? Forget earth, the universe, with his pinky, with his thumb, with his arm. No, he just stood there and said, let there be light, let there be earth, let there be animals, let there be land, let there be sky, earth, sun, moon. He declared it. So friends, you know, for me, the one thing that keeps me captivated and so amazed at this thing is a thing called the Word of God. And yet we try and look at other things, the other secrets. No, but it comes back to the Word of God. If God created it, did earth by words. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. So our faith, our trust, church, is about speaking. It is about talking God. It's not an interpretation or this guy's understanding. Well, we understand that where we believe. No, it's about truth. It's about God. So any other thing, the barriers come down. You walk across Catholic, Dutch, Reformed, Protestant, whatever. It makes no difference so long as it's God. I'm interested in God. And if you, whatever you're wearing, I don't care. If you're interested in God, it's good. Because that's what it's about. Just the word. The centurion understood it. Just say the word. And my servant, who's not present, is healed. That servant has got nothing to do with the situation. He's not even got a debate in what's happening. He's under me. He serves me. He can't even come to my presence without asking permission. But I love him, and I want him well. So, Jesus, you operated with authority. I, under authority, with Caesar. I know how Caesar works, his kingdom. I know how your kingdom works. My kingdom says I get commands, and I repeat the commands. And Caesar's will is enacted. Jesus, you repeat what God says upon earth, and heaven is upon earth. Thy kingdom come. Just say the word. Hey, have faith in God. That's why the message is so powerful. It's the word. He backs up what he says. Hebrews 1:3, this is the one who imprinted with God's image, shimmering with his glory, sustains all that exists through the power of his word. Now we start meddling with some authority here. Through the power of his word. The power of his word. Say this is his word. We often read the Bible, but it's the word, the power of his word, or in actual translation it says the word of his power. The true translation is the word of his power. But if we say it's the power of his word, then that power is limited to that word only. And yes, that's powerful because that word has power. It can do. Turn the switch on and it does what it does. But when it says the word of his power, it goes back to the one who declared it. And when it comes back to the one who decreed it and declared it, it puts a different amplification and power on the word that's spoken. And that makes a little difference. The word of his power. I don't know about you, when someone says to you in the military, so what did the sergeant say? The sergeant says you've got to go and do that. And suddenly the lieutenant pitches up and he says something different. Who do you listen to? The lieutenant. Why? Because of who he is. Because he's got a higher rank. Because he says something different. It's because of who he is. And so the word of his power. Let me get on to here. Luke 4:32. And I discovered this, I think it was in the Voice translation, friends. Look in Bible Gateway if you can get it on your phones or whatever. It's an app, it's free, download. And when you get onto that and you look up 4:32, you can put the Amplified New American ESV. Just scroll down to the V at the bottom and look at Voice. Voice translation. It is amazing. Says here, the people were surprised and wondered about his teaching. His words had power. So, Luke 4:18's come. He starts out there preaching, and the people started listening to him because they're amazed at the way he was teaching because his words had power. There was something about it. Another translation says, his words, I like this one, his words possessed authority. That's why you keep looking up there. I was wondering. His words possessed authority. In other words, what he was saying, those words carried something more than just what you heard. That's a close translation. Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed we have had good news of salvation preached to us, just as the Israelite also. When the good news of the promised land came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united with faith in God, by those who heard. The word does not profit you if you do not mix it with faith. So how do you mix it with faith? And those words that are found there in Hebrews, it is the fact that it's likened to when you take some food, you put it in your mouth, and you chew it. And that chewing is what this word mixing means, because you mix it with a saliva in your mouth so that you're able to swallow it and able to swallow more. If it was dry, you would choke. So if you don't mix it with faith, you'll choke on the word. You'll not be able to assimilate that. And so they didn't mix it with faith. Another part of the Bible that says in the Psalms a number of times, they tested the Lord because they didn't believe what he told them to do. And what happens when you test the Lord? You test the Lord, you find this happens, Mark 6:5, which says this, and he could do no mighty work there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Why? Because they didn't take the word of God. And he marveled at their unbelief. So why do signs and wonders not happen? He marveled at their unbelief. When do signs and wonders happen? When you believe. Revival happens when you start believing the word of God. When revival happens, people get healed. Spirit, soul, and body. Salvation of the soul, healing of the body are together. They're not separate. They're together. Mark 6:5. He marveled. Yo, I can't do anything here. It's not that he couldn't, but he was prevented. It's not that he wouldn't. His will, I want to touch you and help you and show you what the power of God is and healing and the goodness of my Father in heaven. I want you to see this and experience it. but he couldn't. Yes, he can, but he could not, because Slyko came along and hit a brick wall. Bang, nothing happened, except a few. So friends, I tell you what, sometimes when the power of God doesn't move in a place, it's because people don't believe. So, what do we do? That's why tonight I'm just simply basically teaching faith. Why? Because we want to get away from brick walls, lay them flat, and understand the power of God's word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So getting faith is vital. Isaiah 55:11. Let me turn that into that in my Bible. Isaiah 55. And as you know it, so will my word, as the sun, as the rain and the snow, come down from heaven and do not return there without doing what it was sent, watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnish seed to the sower and bread for the eater. So here we go. So will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will not return to me empty. The word I say comes back full. The word I don't say comes back empty. I didn't say it. So the word that I speak, it will return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You know, those are military terms. So it is when I declare something, my word will go out and not return to me, but it will do what I want. It will accomplish what I determine. Getting blessed, boo. Say your word. You know, one thing that my father did for us, my sister and I, was that he read the Bible to me and my sister when we were 7 or 8 years old, made a little treehouse. We didn't go to church. We lived next to a mission station. We had church all week because we could hear them singing hymns and everything, the boys in the school. So my dad said, no, I'm going to read the Bible to you. So he read the parables, went through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And at that tender age, hearing that word of God settled something in my heart that I never forgot. And at the moment that I needed to understand and say what I promised us to myself that I would say, when that happened, when I was 24, I cried out to God. I had an Acts 9 experience. I was saved. I wasn't killed in a war. And I was able to live. Why? Because of what my dad said. Because the word did not come back empty. What he sowed, what he shared, what he said into our young lives has reaped a preacher in our family. I stand today and share his word. Same with you. Never neglect speaking the words over your children. Grandparents, get a hold of your family. Have a family gathering. Call them in whenever you next have an opportunity and say, sit down. I'm saying something to you as the elder of the family. You will read your Bible to your kids. Bring it about. Why? Because when you speak the word, it does not go back empty. You never know. You'll never know what will happen to your children. The other thing, too, is this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You reap what you sow. Because, you know, we are living now what we've spoken about maybe 5 years ago. You're living it, because that's the word you've spoken. Life or death work the same way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear and faith work the same way. You don't see it, but when it comes, you know. So what do you speak? When you speak faith, you're going to reap the substance of what that faith speaks about. If you have fear and you speak it, you're going to get the fear that you speak about. What is it? Heaven or earth? When you speak heaven, you get God's word. Faith is God's realm. Here's Romans 10, 9 and 10. I think I'll care. I am saved, but listen to this. Let me read it to you out of this translation. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. from what? The wrath of God. We go on. For with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is being made righteous, being freed from the guilt of sin, and made acceptable to God. With the mouth he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. How does kingdom of God work? It doesn't operate from here. It operates from here. Information is religion. Revelation is true Christianity. What we just read, salvation is born here, therefore you speak. The word of God is to be aimed at the heart of man, not at the intellect of man. When you get the revelation of God in your heart, it is an opportunity for God to have an encounter with you. You want an encounter with God? Get revelation. What's revelation? Him unfolding his word to us. Him revealing who he is. If you want a religious experience, just get it academically. But if you want revelation, you want an encounter with God, when your heart is open, God can come in. Why? Because that's where heaven is aimed at. Out of the heart, you speak. So that's why salvation is from the heart. Have you ever been to heaven? No. Do you know what heaven looks like? Not really. How do you know when you get to heaven? I'll know when I get there. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Yes. Why? I believe the word of God. Really? Do you actually believe you're going to go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. The word of God says so. No one can dissuade me, disorientate me, or take me away from me because I believe and that's where I'm going. But if you don't believe that, you swear by every wind of doctrine. Now, Christianity, healing, everything is around the heart. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. This is an incredible, we'll come around this many times. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words, my daughter. Incline your ear to my sayings. He says some things. My sayings. What are the sayings of God? They're there. They're the promises of God. And when you get a promise of God, he says, I will do this. If you believe this, it's yours. A promise of God is, that's the truth. When you line up with the truth, you get what that truth says. That's what faith is hooked onto. Faith always confirms a promise. You want to grow in faith? Learn the promises of God. He sent his word and healed them. He is watching over his word to perform it. That's the promises of God. So here, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice this. There are three body parts here. My son, give attention to my words. Listen. Incline your ear. Listen to my sayings. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health, to all their body. So when you found them and they're in your heart, that's where healing comes. Guess what? That's where salvation comes. Because healing and salvation are twins. They're not separate. They're both done. That's why when he said it's finished on the cross, that is the power of sin and sickness and stuff like that is broken. It's possible through Christ. Watch, verse 23, watch over your heart with all vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life. From it flow the springs of life. From your heart. Well, I don't feel like I'm healed. Watch over your heart. You don't walk by feelings. You walk by faith. And you walk by trusting God's word. Yes, your body has feelings. It's true. Yes, your body is made so that you can have feelings that tells you, bah, bah, amber light, watch out, danger. But if it's not right and there's a sickness or a terminal thing, then you need to come back to trusting this. Put away from you deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the left or the right. That's pretty straight information. Where is it aimed at? It's at the heart because that is the issues of life or come out of that heart. And that's where it is. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. It comes out of your heart. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Your heart is the place where faith is born. It's the seedbed. It's the hothouse of that word that goes there. You say, well, how do I understand this? Don't worry about it. Get this. Your brain will wake up. It's called renewing the mind. It's called awakening. It's like you say, wow, now I see it. And your eyes are wide and you're looking straight ahead. But actually what you're saying is, my eyes have understood what the word says. Okay, let me quickly go over here and I'm going to go back. Psalm 119. When I discovered this, oh my word, you will get it tonight. Psalm 119, verse 130 says this. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The unfolding of your words, capital Y, gives light. That's revelation. Let me read the Voice Bible. When your words are unveiled, light shines forth that bring understanding to the simple. And the word there, let me go down to the Message. Every word you give me is a miracle word. How could I help but obey? That's the Message Bible. It's pretty straightforward. Every word you give me is a miracle word. How can I help but not obey? And that word, miracle word, is the word Azusa. You heard that word before? Azusa revival. Yeah, that's what that word means. So every word you give me is Azusa. It's a revival word, a miracle word. Come on, isn't the word amazing? You can make a noise. I don't mind. You won't upset me at all. The doorway of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's the Orthodox Jewish Bible. The unfolding of his words. So here you are. God speaks. Here's a little word. It's like a bullet. Doesn't destroy. Comes down through the atmosphere. He's watching over his word to perform it. Right? And Lord, with all vigilance, you pay attention to the word of God. So the word's coming, comes down. You know what I'm going to do. Comes down, and it bypasses the brain because that's not where it's supposed to go. It goes into the heart. When it goes into the heart, it says, yeah. Revelation goes in. And you say, God, I've never seen that before. Guess what? That's an encounter with God. That's when healing comes. That's when the miraculous starts happening. Because it unfolds, gives light. And what is light? Understanding. And I love the way it says to the simple. So you don't have to be PhD to get theology to understand Christianity. That sounds pretty cool, eh? No, it just gets it to the simple. And I'm simple. Ask Kelly. Simply in faith. The trusting of God's word. So, how does faith work? This is where we want to come to. Mark 11. Verse 12. On the next day, they left Bethany, and he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps it would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found that nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. You see, a fig normally produces figs and then the leaves up afterwards. So this fig tree was false advertising. It had leaves. And so Jesus came and said, man, you didn't even produce figs. And then he cursed it, he says. And he said to a fig tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples were listening. How would you like to be a disciple of Jesus? I know they've got that song, I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. This one did. Not me, but Jesus. He walks up and talks to the tree and they're kind of, hey, Peter, did you hear that? Yeah, I did. Thomas, did you hear that? No, I doubt it. He was always in doubt, so you don't ask him. And so you can imagine the banter going on around these guys. And the fig tree talks to a fig tree. Jesus carries on and and he goes on over here, and he came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were demons. Let's go on to verse 19. When evening came, they would go out of the city. Verse 20, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. We often see things withering from the leaves down, but this one is from the root up. Being reminded, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. This is the highest teaching, the most powerful teaching in faith that there is in the Bible. It says, have the faith of God. In other words, it's not your faith, it's the faith that God has. Trust his faith. He's done it for you. Have his faith. Have the faith of God. And then he goes into a teaching. Truly, I say to you. In other words, Jesus speaking, I say to you. So tonight you can say, God's saying to me. I say to you, whoever, not apostle, prophet, whoever says to this mountain. Notice, says from the mouth. Where does it come from? The heart. It's got to be initiated out of the heart called faith. Whoever says to this mountain. Now, what is the mountain? Now, Jesus is talking to fig trees. Now, he's talking to a mountain. There's a lesson here. Point number one is, a mountain is the thing that's in front of you that you know you cannot get over. It's bigger than you. It cuts out the vision. There's no horizon except that thing. And it's in the way. And it's forever in the way. It's just consuming you. It's just there. I know some mountains are brilliant, but this mountain isn't happy because we understand the fig tree was unfruitful. It's an unfruitful mountain. What is it? Cancer, anxiety, fear, epilepsy, ADT, what are these other thing diseases, bipolar? That's a mountain. You can't go around it. You can't go through it, and you can't go over it. So what does Jesus say? Talk to it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You see, us Christians say, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to give more. I'm going to go to home cell more. No, you don't. You just need to stand there, your feet in hope and love, knowing that God loves you. And you just turn around and say, I don't know how this is going to work. That's why it's not in your mind. It's not by what you can think. Your brain needs to be detached, spoken to, and say, follow what God says, the word of God. And you turn around and you speak to it. Have you ever done that? Absolutely. Finances, spoken to finances. Finances, poverty, out the way. Finances, come. Absolutely. So he says, speak to it. Be taken up and cast into the sea. Well, the only thing that can bury a mountain is the ocean. And here we go. Second instruction. And does not doubt in his heart. You can doubt anywhere else, but not your heart. Your head will talk to you. Your head will talk to you. Kia, you're crazy. This has never been done before. Your head will talk to you, but don't guard your heart with all vigilance, for out of it are issued the springs of life, spirit, soul, and body. So do not doubt in your heart, but believes. But believes that what he says, what you say, when you believe what you say is going to happen, it'll be granted you. That's hope, is going to happen. Hope happens, going to happen, is the confident expectation of good. You need to have expectation with faith. You can't say, well, I just believe, I hope so, man. Gee, I hope so. You've got no hope. Hope is, yeah, I'm expecting it. It's going to come. Watch, it's going to come. You don't think so? Watch, it's coming. I can hear it, I can feel it. I know it's going to come. Expectation of condemnation, no, good. Expectation of good. But you've got to believe it in your heart. That's the Christian walk. Hey, friends, you believe you're going to heaven? That's confident expectation of good. Anything that's in the way of that, you tell it to get out the way because you're coming. You know that. That's the same in our lives. It will be granted him. Notice the word granted. Therefore, verse 24, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they'll be granted you. Therefore, Jesus again says, I say to you, notice those two verses, 23 and 24, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you will receive them, and they will be granted you. According to God's will, of course. You can't expect things that are totally out of focus and not his hand. Verse 25 is one of the most key instructions that destroys faith, and that is this. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you of your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. In other words, you want to eradicate faith? Just walk in bitterness and all those things. If your horizontal walk is not pure, your vertical request will not come. You can say, well, I love God with all my heart, soul, and strength. Your neighbor is yourself too? No, well, hang on, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, right now in this country, this. This. Absolutely that. And you know what happens? The truth of the word is laid at the root. When you talk to that mountain, you speak to the root. You don't look how big it is. You say, hey, mountain, get up and be cast into the sea. The word of truth is the axe laid at the root of the problem. And the root is walking in forgiveness, loving your neighbor, and saying, Lord, I don't want any hindrance this way because I want to go that way. So it's one of those things. What are the leaves? They're the symptoms. How do you know a tree's alive? It's got green leaves. Really? How do you know it's not axed at the root? Well, it's not showing it. You've got pain in your body. You're suffering from sickness and disease. When we pray for you tonight, or when people have prayed for you before, which I'm sure they do here, the word of the truth severs the power in those roots. It's called sap. It's spirit-appointed power no longer flows to produce sickness and disease because it is severed by the blood and the word of Jesus Christ. The leaves just need a little time to wake up and think, hey, dude, have you got any sap there? No, I've got none. Have you? No. Oh, my goodness. Looks like we're drying up. How long does it take a leaf to dry up? 3 days, roughly? 4 days? 3 days you come back, you even hear one day. Hey, look, Lord, the leaves, it's withered up. What happened? You cursed this tree. That isn't one day. So what is it? It's the symptoms. You know, you can be prayed for, walk out of here and still carry the symptoms, but just hang on there. Just hang on for 2, 3, 4 days. That's why the Bible says you shall recover. Huh? Because truth has come in. Most of us quit and say, ah, you know what, that preacher there, he lied to me there, all that word that he's talking about, faith and that, and I come outside and I'm still sick and the pastor and the church, and I hate God. No. Understand the love of God and the truth of God's word will set you free. Faith. Have faith in God and it will set you free. The unfolding of his words brings light. When light comes into you, darkness has to flee. We are the children of light. They walked in the wilderness for 40 years in perpetual light. There was no darkness for 40 years. Fire at night, sun in the day. Guess what? No light, no darkness. They're called children of light. We are called the children of light because of the word of God that we trust and the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. We still walk in revelation and in truth, and God wants to touch our lives that way. Amen. Have faith in God. Trust in him. All things are possible to those who believe. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The currency of heaven is faith. The currency of earth is the rand. It doesn't change in heaven. It gets stronger and stronger as you get closer and closer. Just say the word. Can we trust God's word tonight for the rest of this week? Can we read the word of God a whole lot different? It's not how much you read. It's how you read it. I'm running a Bible reading program. You know what? I haven't been in one, I don't think, all my life. Except at Bible school, we had to. Because we had to tick a box and say, I've read the Bible. It's not that I haven't read the Bible, but I'd rather, Lord, show me this. What does that mean? Dink, bounce around, come back. Whoa, that's why I get these things. The unfolding of your word brings light. Hey, yes, thank you, Lord. Never heard it preached. Small stuff coming. Can't wait. Can't wait. You got faith?
Yeah.
Can feel it in this room.
Yeah.
Well, let's do something. We're going to walk in the thing called authority. The authority, just say the word. The authority of God's word. Are you with me on that? Amen. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever that mountain is that you have in your life, whether it's sickness or it's a situation, you know exactly what that mountain is. Why don't you, in fact tonight, won't you as a believer stand up and we're just going to maybe play the drums loud and we're just going to speak to those mountains. Now as a Christian, say, hey, hey, you've been in front of me long enough. You have been hindering my family, hindering whatever. And whatever it is, you know what it is instantly. And you're going to turn around and talk to that thing and say, get out of my way. Get out of my life. I curse you from the root up. The symptoms of what's happening in my life, you're going to wither and dry up, you ugly thing. Move. Mountain movers. That's called faith. Before you do that, like Kelly said, is there any unforgiveness in your life? Let's do that first. Let's stand. Whoever wants to do that, let's stand tonight. And first of all, if there's anything in your heart that you know that you haven't forgiven someone, can be old as your parents, can be old as something that's happened in a business thing, you know, why don't you, with your mouth, just say, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so. Never hold it against them anymore. Maybe they won't forgive you. And you don't have to wait for them. Because if you don't hold it against them anymore, guess what? You're free. They may not be, but you are free. And God can get a hold of them. And God's got a hold of you. So you release them whom the Son sets free. You set them free. And you will be set free. So just go ahead right now and just pray openly, loudly, and just declare that. Then we'll start confessing.